Live from Nashville, Tennessee, this is the Campfire Cafe on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network.
I felt the rush of the Rio Grande into Yellowstone, and I've seen firsthand Niagara Falls and the lights of Vegas. A crisscross down to Key Biscayne and Chi-Town via Bangor, Maine. Think I've seen it all, and all I can say is, how about them cowgirls? Boys, ain't they something? Sure are some proud girls, and you can't tell them nothing. And I tell you right now, girls, may just be seven wonders of this big How about them cowgirls? She's riding coach in Steamboat Springs, baling hay outside Abilene. She's trying hard to fit in some city, but her home is neat that big blue sky and the northern plains and those other wide open spaces. Nowadays there ain't as many, but how about them cowgirls? Boys, ain't they something? Sure are some proud girls, and you can't tell them nothing. I tell you right now, her to be herself, and she'll never change, don't know how to hide her stubborn will or her fighting side. But you treat her right and she'll love you like no one else. Yeah, how about them cowgirls? Boys, ain't they something? Sure are some proud girls, but you can't be so loving. And I tell you right now, girls, may just be seven wonders of this big, whole, round world. But how about them cowgirls? How about them, boys?
Well, live from Nashville, Tennessee, I'm your host, Gary Holt. Joining us in Albuquerque, New Mexico, is our co-host, Miss Bobby Bell. Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning, Gary. That was a great song to kick off today's show.
I'm telling you what, George Strait, how about them cowgirls? And this is the last show of the month where we have been saluting women of the West. So I thought that was kind of appropriate. But It feels like Allergy City here in Music City.
Oh.
Beautiful sunshiny day, but you may find me a little bit hoarse and sniffling every now and then. Allergies are out and about. So You don't have that problem in Albuquerque, do you?
Well, we have high winds expected all day today into this evening. Temperatures are starting to climb now up into the 60s. Looks like we're going to have a really lovely week with warmer temps. But yeah, there are some things that are starting to bloom and that we didn't have in California that, you know, I don't feel it today like you do, but it's out there. Comes along with spring.
Oh, gosh. Well, talking about in the West, we can't have a woman in the West much further west than our first guest today. So who's joining us for the Campfire Cafe?
Oh, I'm so delighted we have Junie Fisher back with us again. It's been a while to have some chance to catch up with her. And do you want to announce who's in the second half of the show?
Yeah, so a little bit further to the east, we have another guest. And who is that?
We have Deanna Dickinson-McCall, like Junie, an award winner, and delightful. And she's from New Mexico, so she feels somewhat neighborly, even though we're several hours apart.
I will correct you. Miss Deanna is now an Oklahoma native, and so we'll talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
That's right.
I saw that I didn't realize where she'd moved to. Ah, got it. Okay.
Eakley, Oklahoma, population 310. Oh. So we'll talk about that a little bit more when she's on the show. But right now, let's take a listen to a great song from Miss Junie Fisher. It's the song called The West. When we come back, we'll be talking with Junie today on the Campfire Cafe.
They don't call it Death Valley for nothing, and coyotes don't make a good pet. But when you're living out here with the grizz and the deer, you pretty much take what you get. Oh, the mountains have shoulders like granite. They're big and they make their own rules. So you take what you need, but you better take heed, 'cause the mountains don't tolerate fools. Oh, the West is as big and as wild and as wide as a ride on a comet that's never been tried. You may climb on her back if you do your best, 'cause she's gonna put your true grit to the test. Oh, the West boy, she ain't broke to ride. Oh, the West boy, she ain't broke to ride. Oh, the wind is the moan of the prairie. It haunts and bedevils the brain. The soul-stealing kind that will fray a man's mind till only a whimper remains. You may stand on a canyon cathedral where the water and wind never rest, and know in your bones that the meek on their own will never inherit the West. Oh, the West is big and as wild and as wide as a ride on a comet that's never been tried. You may climb on her back if you do your best, 'cause she's gonna put your true grit to the test. Oh, the West boy, she ain't broke to ride. Oh, the West boy, she ain't broke to ride. Oh, she's wild and she's wide and she's lonesome, where the dream of first blood still survives. And she beckons to those who can bid adios to the comfort of 8-to-5 lives. So come all you brave caviars, cinch up and reach way down inside, till you're feeling the heat, so take a deep seat, 'cause the West boy, she ain't broke to ride. Oh, the West is as big and as wild and as wide as a ride on a comet that's never been tried. You may climb on her back if you do your best, 'cause she's gonna put your true grit to the test. Oh, the West boy, she ain't broke to ride. Oh, the West boy, she ain't broke to ride.
Welcome back to Campfire Cafe on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network. We just heard The West, performed by Junie Fisher from her album, Cowgirlography. Our first guest today is Junie Fisher, a multi-award-winning singer, songwriter, entertainer, producer, and author. She's been the International Western Music Association's Entertainer of the Year, 4-time Female Performer of the Year, 3-time Song of the Year winner, and is a 2-time True West Magazine Best Solo Musician. Junie was the first woman to win the prestigious National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum's Wrangler Award in 2009 for her landmark CD, Gone for Colorado. And that's just a summary of her music career. Perhaps she'll share with us stories of her horses. Please welcome back to Campfire Cafe, a gal who dreams beyond borders and a woman I like to call my friend, Junie Fisher. Welcome, Junie.
Hey, Bobby, great to be here with you.
Yeah.
Howdy do, young lady.
I haven't heard that record in a long time.
Hey, it's a pretty good one. It's pretty good.
It's crazy.
It was written by Baxter Locke and Jack Hanna.
And Jack Hanna.
God rest
yeah.
their souls.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to, a little bit later in the show, we're going to play some music by the Sons of the San Joaquin. And yeah, such a loss. With so many of these guys.
Yeah.
This past year has been really rough. Baxter and Jack both. Yeah.
Yep.
But anyway, you're out in California today, and you're getting ready to do a little horsing around, and so we're going to talk horses
yeah.
and music.
We just pulled into the ranch, so anyway.
All right. All right.
Hold the cattle. Junie will be along in a minute.
you're out there to see a new horse. So tell us a little bit about this new horse.
No, yeah, I'm up here riding my new mare. My trainer went on the scout for me to find me a step up horse, and he had one in his barn that I loved. And anyway, so I bought her about a month ago, and it's shown her already, and she's a really nice mare. Really well bred, and just a super, super, super mare. And I have a pocket rocket to ride, and I love her.
and her name is Kitty's Blue Boon. What do you call her?
Kitty's Blue Boon. Well, her barn name is Diamond.
Okay.
Diamond.
So that's all right. It's not Kitty, it's Diamond. It is what it
all
is.
Right.
And you don't change the barn name. So anyway, she's adorable and darling, and she's a cool mare, and I feel extremely fortunate that she was made available so that I could own a horse like this, because I've not ever been able to own one like this before, so I'm delighted to have her.
Oh, that is so cool. Well, a lot of people know your music, and a lot of people are familiar with your horse activities and your horse life, and but a lot of people don't know that you've done a lot of variety in your horse experiences, because horses
yeah.
brought you all the way back to Tennessee and beyond, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I came to Tennessee on a fox hunting job originally. 23, 24 years ago, something like that. And, yeah, it's been good, and I evented and galloped steeplechase horses and fox hunted professionally, and have done a lot of different things. In California, after I'd worked at a cutting horse trainer before that, a rain cow horse trainer, had my own little barn and did rail horses and showed some fine harness horses and kind of did a little everything, because that's what paid the bills.
Yeah. Well,
and,
you've done a
people go, well, yeah. Can you show this halter horse for me? Well, I really don't want to, but I will. That's what you have to do. I have the freedom. I can kind of do what I want to do, and I don't have to ride other people's baboons. That's a really nice part of life now.
So have cutting horses always been your passion?
Reined cow horses were really my passion, but there came a time in life where I couldn't 3-day event anymore, and I couldn't really gallop steeplechase horses anymore. And there also came a time when the cow horse thing, it was too much for me to take. I couldn't take the turns, the fence work. And
right.
I really didn't have the horse that could do it. at a higher level. So when we decided that horse does not want to run and stop and run down the fence, but she can cut. So I had done cutters before. About 10 years ago, I had had an old cutter that I sort of brought back from the brink of ruin and had fun showing her. So I said, well, I can make a cutter again. So I spent some time putting all the buttons I wanted on her, and then found a trainer that was willing to work with me that way. And we developed her into a nice horse, and I had a lot of fun on her and made the circuit finals last year and went to the circuit finals on her and placed. And then I said, okay, now things are kind of set up where I'm going to slow down being on the road, and I'm going to be able to go show, and I'd like to step up. And he said, okay, here's what we do. So when it came time, I told him what I was looking for, and he started assembling a little group, and I rode some, and then I said, well, what about this one? And so anyway, he made her available, and I jumped on her. It was I couldn't pass her up. And,
oh, that's great.
There were other horses yet to look at, but I said, no, this is the one. So,
all right.
Anyway, I'm excited right. that I get to have a horse like this, and I get to show her, and I'm still figuring out all the her buttons are very different from my mare's because she has always been a straight cutter. My mare was a reined cow horse, so I had a lot more handle on her.
Okay.
And my mare does, you know, I can, people go, oh, look, he's riding without a bridle. Yeah, I can do all that and more. You know, that's not a big deal to people that do this because we our horses are that broke, and that's
right.
how my mare DJ is. She's that broke. I can kind of do everything on her, and she'll remain in my string, and she still gets ridden every day, and she's my practice horse now that I can work out figuring out position and stuff like that, and I'll bring her up here occasionally and take a lesson on her to keep her sharp, but the horse I'll go take to the big shows is the new mare.
Okay. All right. So Diamond gets to show off now for Junie Fisher.
So right now she's sort of packing me, but she's a really nice mare, and I can ride, but it's figuring out how to show her. It's, you know, people say, oh, well, you just hang on. And I say to those people, you've never actually sat on a cutting horse, have you?
I started to say.
Yeah, there's a lot to it, and we are pedaling. It's like, you know, you see a duck. They look like they're gliding around on the lake. Yeah, they're mm-hmm. they're paddling uh-huh. underneath. So we're pedaling all the time, and there's a lot going on that you don't see, but it's all figuring out position and how to get the scores. And so anyway, it's great fun, and I love it, and I love the kind of horses, and I love the sting and the fire. And it's all fun. And I have a trainer that I trust with my life because done a bunch of horses that I'd never seen and tried them on cattle, and I had to trust him that everything would be okay. I wouldn't do that with just anybody.
Yeah, I started to say, you've got to find somebody that you trust. But, well,
yeah.
I know what you're talking about, young lady. I know exactly what you're talking about. Well, let's take a listen to a song.
So,
this just happens to be called Cutting Horse, and we're going to listen to that and come back and talk more with Junie Fisher in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
Got your horses fed while it's still dark. Load them up, move them out. Let's hit the road. You pull in early, find a place to park. Grab your hat, pop the door, and snap and latch and load. Got your good mare saddled at first light. Got your front and hind boots laid out clean and neat. Show pad and the rawhide cinch you up just right. Check her legs, check your reins, grab your shaft and pick her feet. That's the start of the rumble, where it all begins. Where it all gets shaken in the cutting horse pen. You got a good half hour now. You gotta get her loped. While you settle the cattle, you put your mind at rest. Good bunch of black baldies, now you got hope. Take a look, take a note, they're the kind your horse likes best. little luck of the draw. Not first or the end, but still plenty of fresh ones. Hey, this is looking good. They call your name, check your stop, check your bin, and you heard help rise on up like they said they would. That's the cut and pin rumble, where it all begins, where it all gets shaking, in the cutting horse pen. Well, your mare feels fine, you make the first cut deep, lock on to get snaky when you drop your hand. Got the cards on the table, boys, just read them and weep, 'cause we're going to the finals, we're going to the promised land. That's rattle and rumble, where it all begins, where it all gets shaken, in the cutting horse pen. Well, this next part's sad, let's all bow in prayer. Couldn't be your horse, and it couldn't be you to blame. Last cow goes by ya, there you are cutting air. That's it, write it off, write a check, it's a cutting horse game. That cutting fever burns you, don't you know? And you swear you're gonna quit until you come right back to show. That's a cutting horse rumble, where it all begins, where it all gets shaken, in the cutting horse pen. Just keep on shaking in the cutting horse pen.
Junie Fisher, cutting horse pen, from her fabulous CD. One of my favorites. Listen to the horse. Junie, it's so delightful that just to hear your voice and go back to some of this music that I feel like I know inside and out. And then when I hear it, it feels so fresh and new. you were at Elko.
I don't hear these songs.
Yeah. you were at Elko this year, were you not?
I was. Mm-hmm. I was. And we had a great time. It was good. And then after that, went to Alpine. So, yeah.
Yeah, and then you went to Alpine. Was this
sorry,
the first year Elko?
I'm walking up to the arena carrying my stuff up. So
that's okay. Was this
so
the first year that Elko was back live?
Yes. Last year we did a virtual show. They broadcast it. They allowed 50 people to come in, and it was like you had to be a member with an exclusive package. It was like $500 per person to come. But they allowed 50 people to come, and or maybe 300, something like, yes, whatever it was. And then they released those on their website to members only later. And then they filmed us individually in shows in there. Sorry, I'm walking through the arena, so if I'm breathing hard, I don't have asthma. I'm just walking in deep ground. Anyway, yeah, that's how they did it last year and the year before.
Yeah.
And this was the first year back live, and it was their biggest year ever. It was huge.
Really?
Oh, wow.
There were so many people there. Ticket sales were great. So.
Well, this is the first time. This is the first time in 3 years that they had been live.
Mm-hmm.
So that,
That's
why.
It was big, and everybody was ready to get out again. There's a lot of people.
The next, I know we're looking at time, the next song I think that Gary has queued up is one of my favorites. It's the title track from Listen. And again, it's that special relationship between horse and rider. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about this song before we play it?
I wrote that song was written to the rhythm of a lope of a particular horse that I had been sitting on at that time. And you know, people say, oh, well, you got to do this and you got to do this. I go, yeah, but you got to stop and pay attention whether the horse gets it. And people, oh, you do this and this and this, and then you get this. And here's the cue to go, no, you have to listen to what the horse is saying too. Mm-hmm. So it's really about stopping and hearing what the horse has to say about it, and seeing the world the way the horse sees it, not just looking at the world between his ears. And everybody goes, oh, mm-hmm. we're taking our picture, you know, pick a picture. Here's where I'm going through my horse's ears. Well, yeah, but what's the horse seeing? And mm-hmm. and so it was about that relationship and that stopping to listen, because the horse wants to work with us. If he didn't, we wouldn't be riding them at all. Mm-hmm. They are way too big for us to force anything. So they are really the most forgiving animal on earth, even more than dogs. So,
mm-hmm.
Let's take a listen to listen, and we'll be back in just a minute. We'll give Junie a chance to catch her breath, and we'll
yeah,
be back in just a moment.
I'm back now picking up my shafts and a horse barn from my truck. So.
All right, here we go.
Once would you try to hear what I hear, see the world through my eyes, not just through my ears. This horse has a voice. Do you know something's missing? Give you my all if you would just listen.
after the song is listen. And whether you're listening to us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcast, or our website, we want to remind you of our new show that airs every Saturday at noon, and that is Live from Nashville. So tune in there as well. But thanks for all our listeners around the world. Well, Jeannie Fisher, did you catch your breath yet?
I did, and my horse is saddled, so we're good.
All right. Well, we're going to let you get on in just a minute. So we're about ready to roll. One of the things I wanted to ask, though, it's been a while since you've had a new album. And so when can we expect something new? Yeah, you have been writing books.
I've been writing novels, and I'm going to write novels and ride my cutting horses.
Okay. All right. So I guess
no
we're going to have
no new music, in other words.
That's what it sounds like.
You know, I'm going to write novels and ride my cutting horse. That's what I'm going to do. So cutting horses. And you know, it's been a great life, and I got a lot out of it, and it's been great. And I'm in a position where I can slow down now. So I'm going to, and I'll still play some shows. I'll still play the really good shows and some festivals, but I'm not going to run as hard down the road, and I'm going to enjoy. I'm not a spring chicken anymore. I'm going to enjoy life and show while I can, because there is a window when it just doesn't work. You know, yeah. Things aren't as good. And so I'm going to do it while I can. And, you know, the road has been good to me, and the music business has been very, very good to me. And there comes a time to either slow down or back off, or go out when people are saying, oh, she should have quit a couple years ago.
I hate to see that.
And I've seen it over and over, and I'm not going to do it. So I'm still at the top of my game. I'm playing some really good festivals, and I'm going to keep playing those, but I'm not, you know, it's time to slow it down. And you know what? I got two nice cutting horses to show right now, so I'm going to go show them.
Yeah. Jeannie, are you working on a new book? Is there a third book in the works?
Yep, there's one in the works right now. And when I get it down the road a little bit, then I'll start. You know, it's a long process, and then editing, and then pitching, and try to get an agent for this one, and see if I can bump up a level here. And it's always fun and always an adventure to start off on a new one, and just find time in the creases to write. You know, people go, oh, I'd like to write a book, but I'm so busy. And I tell them, I wrote my last two in parking lots and truck stops while I was on the road.
Yep,
don't tell me you have time to write.
Right. That's right.
Make the time to write. So that's kind of how this
is. That's
true.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
I'm enjoying life. So.
Well, that is great. Fantastic. And getting a little fly fishing occasionally, I hope?
In May, Rusty's going to come out to California, and hopefully some of our water will clear out up here. We've had too much water, and you go, well, the water's good, but we'll not really for trout fishing because the water's just flowing through. But so, as it slows, when we sort of get through this rain, there'll be some good fishing in California. So Rusty's going to come out, and we'll hit that pretty hard, and we'll see what happens in the summer. I'm trying to get him to move to California.
I hear you. I was expecting that. I was expecting that.
There's nothing that keeps me locked to Tennessee, because the cutting thing is happening in California and Texas and Arizona.
Yeah.
So I said, if you want to live in Texas, I'll go. It'll have to be Weatherford or it has to be cutting central, but I would go there. Or I'd go to Arizona. He goes, well, that's a desert.
Gosh. Well, for the worldwide audience that's listening, tell folks how they can find your website, find your books, find your music, because you have plenty of music, even if you're not creating any new, but you've got plenty of music. So tell folks how they can do all that.
It's JuniFisher.com, JuniFisher.com. And my books and music are available there. And appreciate people that still order music. And I'm loving still playing some of the festivals and stuff. And what's kind of neat is, like, I'm sort of in that spot now where I can go, oh, thanks for calling, but yeah, I'm not going to be able to make that one work. I could just make the good ones work. So that's really fun. And,
well, it is, to be able to pick and choose. Yeah, to be able to pick and choose.
It's like, oh, you don't need me to headline? That's okay. I won't be there. I'm just stuff like that. But I you know, because I love, there's certain ones I love to go to. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play those shows that are really great and they take good care of you and you have great sound and all of the elements are there that make it really fun. And I can do that. So I'm going to do it. And, you know, life's too short now to play bad shows or ride bad horses.
There you go. There you go. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Well, it has been great to have you with us. So now go get on Diamond and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I got to go put my caps on, get on Diamond. Yeah.
There we go. So we're going to close this.
Knock the fresh off of the horse's cattle.
There you go. Let her go. Let her buck. Let her fly. This is Junie Fisher. Junie, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
As soon as she's paid up her entry, let her in, wish her luck, let her buy. Bound and determined to ride what they draw her, let her go, let her buck, let her fly. She hands them her saddle, they snap the bronc closer, the blindfold pulled over his eyes. She pulls up her cinch, dodge and stirrup and hoof. Let her go, let her buck, let her fly. She's riding as soon as her foot hits the stirrup. Let her up, let her on, let her try. She hears herself saying, okay, let me have him. Let her go, let her buck, let her fly. That bronco's a sailing and jabbing the ground. He's a snake, he's a cat, and he's fly. Her spurs are singing that Pendleton song. Let her go, let her buck, let her fly. Bronc leaves her fan in the sky. She'll be back tomorrow, black-eyed and grinning. Let her go, let her buck, let her fly. That good Hamley saddle is why. She'll come to the roundup till hell freezes over. Let her go, let her buck, let her fly. Let her go.
Let her fly. That was Junie Fisher, and in just a few moments we are going to be visiting with Deanna Dickinson McCall. But she has a great poem from her album I'll Ride Through It we're going to take a listen to, and when we come back We'll be talking with Deanna. You're listening to the Campfire Cafe on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network.
Saddle scarred, sturdy and plain. On the ground rests one split rein. Leggings hooked over the horn. Armor from branch and thorn. Short, stout taps hang down on rigs not seen in town. Old tin coat with raveled cuff rest on hands dark and tough. Shirt pre-torn from the other day, worn once more for thrown away. Battered hat with torn brim, face scratch from a limb. We ride the rough country. Cinches checked one last time, for into saddles we climb, on horses steady and sure. Savvy of the snakes were, thin of javelina and bear, the choya and prickly pear. Slide down a rocky slope, slippery as a bar of soap. Duck under branches too low, following where the cattle go, through brush heavy and thick, knowing the old cow's trick. Cactus and algerita abound, cracking branches sound. Cattle and thicket collide, gouging your ornery hide, as cowpony parts away on another brush-popping day. We ride the rough country.
Our next guest, Deanna Dickinson McCall, ranched in the mountains of New Mexico with her husband Dave, and now they call Oklahoma home. She is from a long line of ranchers. The stories she writes are generous slices of this life about the people and land of today's West. Her award-winning poetry opens a door, allowing you deep into her world, often touching a heartstring as she writes of the ranch life and people she loves, or sends her reader into laughter as her wry humor rings true. Deanna has won various awards for her writing, including the prestigious Wrangler Award in both 2019 and 2022. Please welcome back to Campfire Cafe, Deanna Dickinson McCall. Welcome, Deanna.
Thanks for having me. Always fun to be on here.
How are you doing, my friend?
Well, doing well. Adjusting to Oklahoma.
I'm telling you. I told you I looked up Eakley, Oklahoma earlier today, and population in the 2021 census was 312, and so you've added to that now.
Well, I guess we're a few miles from there, but not sure where we're counted or if we're counted in anywhere.
Gosh. Well, tell me about the move. Why, how did the move happen for you? Was it this time?
It pretty much was. And we decided, you know, it's time to take things a little bit easier. The New Mexico ranch was pretty rough as far as the country and riding and cattle and all of those things. And we decided, you know, take it a little easier. Offer cattle here, not have cattle in the winter to take care of, and much closer to medical facilities and stores and all of that kind of stuff.
It makes a difference, doesn't it? I mean, it really, really does. It's kind of funny. Because I sold all my horses when I moved to Utah with Mary Kay. And then when we moved back to Nashville from Utah, we sold Mary Kay's horses. And so now she's right here in the middle of Nashville almost. And she says, you know, I think I've decided I'm a city girl. And she said, I don't mind not getting out and hauling hay and breaking ice in the winter. So that does make a difference, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It does. I mean, we've still got horses and all of that, but I'm not sad to not have to worry about tearing yourself to death riding through the brush or getting down some of those steep mountains. So that part,
yeah.
I'm glad to kind of leave behind.
I understand. Are you guys going back to the Western Heritage Awards this year?
We are trying to decide if we can. We've got so darn much going on, if we'll make it or not. But it's always such a great time. Such a great event.
It is, and it was absolutely fantastic for me to finally get to meet you and to meet Dave last year. And so Mary Kay headed back as a presenter again this time, but this year I'm going to stay home and take care of the critters and let her and her mama and the youngest baby go and enjoy the Western Heritage Awards. So it's kind of going to be a girl's trip, you know, but I'll say,
right.
But it was absolutely great meeting you guys, and you won an award with Jim Jones, and that was just, and Dave, and that was just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I was very excited over that, to actually win one for songwriting. That's something I've just kind of started doing, and of course Jim did a fabulous job with the music on that, and we were both pretty excited to know that won a Wrangler, so.
Well, it is the Oscars of the Western music genre and poetry.
It
genre.
Is.
So, yeah, it's a pretty cool event. Pretty cool event. Well, a great album. I'll Ride Through It, and we're going to get to the title poem from that album. But tell us a little bit about writing this and how this one came to be. How I'll Ride Through It.
I think just when you have that Western cowboy mentality, you know, it's always been, okay, you just keep going. You don't let things stop you. And with this, you know, and it also has a certain faith base to it, because you're going to ride through it. You're going to get through it. And a lot of times, you know, we have help and sometimes we don't. And I think also as we get older, we reflect on all the things that you go through. And, you know, eventually there's going to be a last ride. And,
yeah.
You know, the last stanza in that poem is about that when it comes time for passing, like so many people, you know, you're hoping your horse back when it happens, and you never know that's your stride.
That's true. That's true. I think about that. You know, will I ever know when it's the last time? And I guess we don't.
No, and I hope we don't.
I hope we. I guess that's right. Anyway, let's take a listen to I'll Ride Through It, and we'll come back and talk more with Deanna in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
I seek the broad chest, sweet breath, and gentle eye, strong neck, where my head rests, on the horse's strength I rely. I'll ride through it. When cold makes my bones ache, but there's work to be done, for those cows and calves' sake, I'll finish what I've begun. I'll ride through it. Struggling to understand life's peaks and falls, my soul seeks the rangeland. I answer siren call. I'll ride through it. When dreams fill me with pain of loved ones now gone, tears fall like a soft rain in the early light of dawn. I'll ride through it. When dust sticks to my sweat, heat bouncing off the ground, horse's shoulders dripping wet, and no breeze to be found, I'll ride through it. When my life's fading away, I'm about to be set free. I hope on that last day, in the saddle, I'll still be. And I'll ride through it.
Deanna Dickinson McCall, and it's the title cut from the album, I'll Ride Through It. So do you have a new project that you're working on?
Not a real one. I've been dabbling with a couple of poems, but I've been doing quite a bit of freelancing besides the fact that I now write for Range magazine. So I've got two articles working on for that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, between the move and everything else, it's been, but it's been good. I was able to get I completed one, and I'm working on two more articles. So it's interesting anyway. It keeps you busy.
I'm telling you what. So you change from going down steep inclines chasing cattle to doing more writing and freelancing, and that's a little bit better, I think, on the body to be able
to do
that.
It is. And one thing that's really nice here, we've got riding arenas real close, and since we're not riding, having to check cattle and all, it's very nice to have those facilities readily available.
Yeah. And I understand you're doing some unique cooking with a couple of different ovens or something. What's the deal with
this? Yeah, two ovens.
This house is very nice. And, of course, most of the time we've lived on ranches where the house is the last improvement that you worry about. And I've cooked on gas for so many years. And to have electric, it's kind of like, oh, I got to learn this all over again.
Well, it looks like you do pretty good. I saw where you were making tamales for Dave or something. And he
pizza.
Thought this was pretty good.
Yeah,
and pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness gracious.
So is it, Deanna, is it a ranch? Is it like a ranch that you moved to, though? Just looking at pictures on your Facebook page, I'm trying to get a sense of, yeah.
Yeah, it'll make a good base property. We are putting some irrigation in and that kind of thing. But just decided at our age, we don't need to own everything that's necessary. It's easier to lease a lot of land and run cattle on it, and rather than owning it all. So we've got enough here to hold quite a few cows, and of course the horses and stuff. But the majority of the cattle will be on lease lands.
Ah, got it. Well,
so
how many head do you run?
Yeah.
Well, we're waiting to see. We're like everybody else. Western Oklahoma needs some rain. The rest of the state has gotten it, and we're behind on rain. So we will find that question out. We will see how that goes.
Yeah. Well, it's been an interesting year because, tons of people have gotten a lot of snow this year, which was needed. Parts of California have had a lot of snow and then tons of rain, because we talked to Trinity Seeley the other day, and when I talked to her, I think she said, Bobby, didn't she say 50 inches of rain or something? And then back here in the east, we've had more rain than normal, and then there's some areas that are just still drought. Well, we were in a drought situation for a while, so it's just been an interesting season all across the country as far as our weather
is
concerned.
It just no rhyme or reason. I know I know California badly needed it, all that moisture that they got. It's just that, you know, the way droughts always break, you get more than what you need at one time.
Yeah. And then get some flooding on top of that. So let's do another poem. Let's do I Twisted the Wire. Tell us about that expression. Tell us about that expression, I Twisted the Wire.
Sometimes it will occur to me that some of the most simplest things every day, several times a day, things we do are actually very important. And twisting the wire, locking cattle up, just sometimes sliding the bar or flipping the latch. When you've worked really hard to get them in and you've maybe have some cattle trucks coming and stuff, you want to go back, and as added assurance, very often you'll go and get baling wire and twist it around those gates to make sure, in case they get to jiggling that gate around where it won't come open. And I was doing that one day, and because I hollered at my husband before we headed the house, I says, "Did you wire that gate?" And he said, "Yeah, I twisted that wire." And so that's where that came from.
All right. Well, that was an expression that I thought was very interesting. I twisted that wire. So let's take a listen to "I Twisted That Wire."
They're in there, settled with feed, a year's work and a year's income. We're both tired and relieved. Rode through summer heat and winter cold. Provided grass, water, minerals. Lots of days that make you feel old. I twisted the wire. To some, it may not seem like much, just a penful of bawling calves. Folks don't savvy the work and such. Whole bunch captured and confined, the best we could do, fulfilling the contract we signed. I twisted the wire. Wide-eyed and wide-mouthed they bawl, shiny, stocky calves answering their mama's call. Hours spent choosing who'll make a cow. Attitude, confirmation. Heifers chosen, separated now. I twisted the wire. Bittersweet autumn, the culmination of four long seasons, wrought with grit and determination. They're a pretty nice set of cattle. As I turn for the house, I hear gates screech and rattle. Glad I twisted the wire.
I twisted the wire. Deanna Dickinson McCall from her album All Ride Through It. Deanna, I have a question that's a little bit about your writing process. You obviously perform. You perform live. You record. When you write a poem, are you also thinking about how it will sound from stage? Are you writing it for stage?
You know, I'm not. And particularly when I first started writing, I needed to take that and give it more consideration than what I did. And that's something a lot of times I'll have to go back, because, you know, in your head when you're writing, you know what you want it to say, but what it says in reality, and then you listen. So a lot of times I've got to go back and make adjustments on meter and that kind of thing. A lot of people write, you know, free verse and that sort, but I've always had a really hard time dealing with free verse. So I try to write little more traditional style.
Mm-hmm. And your poetry, so often the next piece that Gary's going to play is Cowgirl's Pride, and I have used that quite often for the other show that I do, the Out West Hour, and I just love that piece because it kind of has a little bit of a surprise at the end, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does a little bit.
Do you want to give us a little bit of a backstory to that poem, and then Gary will play it?
Oh, that's a really old poem that I had written years and years ago, and pretty personal. Dave and I got married, and I had told him really and truly that when we got married that we weren't going to have chickens and a milk cow. I was not going to do that stuff because I was pretty much a tomboy and didn't want any of that kind of more farm-style stuff, and so that's where that actually came from.
Oh, okay, Gary, let's take a listen. Cowgirl's Pride, Deanna Dickinson McCall.
When we first married, I told you I wouldn't feed chickens or milk a cow. And while I do a lot of things, I still don't do that now. I'll ride the dumbest horse all day long, and even try and smile when you howl out some stupid song. But I don't feed chickens or milk a cow. I help pull calves all through the spring, and being chased around the corral ain't any new thing. But I'm not tending chickens or a milk cow. Yeah, I can mend a fence, cook a meal, brand a calf, change water, and even close the cattle deal. But if I knew then what I know now, I'd race you to the chickens and milk cow.
That's great. That is great. Cowgirls Pride. Hey, who is providing the music for this album?
That CD, I was so fortunate to have Jim Jones and Randy Houston go in the studio with me. And it was really funny because we just walked in the studio and they'd start playing and kind of set the tone, the tempo, and everything with that. And it just worked out so well because we really didn't do any rehearsing.
Wow.
And
wow.
Well, we were all pretty shocked when we came out.
Well, two talented guys, but I don't know how you got anything done with the two of them there. I really don't.
That's one thing about them. They're a lot of fun to work with. And of course,
I know they are.
So talented. That's the whole thing. And think of things that I would not have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how did you get started in poetry, by the way? How did you get started? Who got you started?
Well, it goes way, way back. I would, when I was too little or the weather was too bad to go with my dad, you know, horseback or whatever he was doing, I very often stayed with my granny and granddad on one of the ranches, too young for school. And my granny, being typical old Scots-Irish, to entertain me, she made a lot of things rhyme. And she would start it and have me kick in and rhyme with her, you know, just over simple little everyday things besides all the old sayings. And so that became very much a habit with me of making things rhyme. And then my granddad also, he sang and played jew's harp and that sort of thing. And he also told stories. And very often they were in rhyme, a lot of the old things. So I grew up with that. I was fortunate that way, and that was very often in the when after work was done and we'd sit outside, it was that's what was done was stories were told or sung, and also I feel I was very fortunate to have had that background.
Do you remember your first gathering? Do you remember where you were when you first performed for the public?
Yeah, Elko, Nevada.
Oh, wow.
1987. I would not perform in 1986 because I was pregnant and I didn't want to get up.
Wow. Wow. That's a pretty good place to start your performances.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good place to start. Now, weren't you at Elko this past year?
Yes, I was.
I thought you were. So how was it, do you think, after 3 years of absence?
You know, I thought it went pretty dang well, like you say, you know, trying to regather after COVID. And we lost a lot of events due to COVID that won't come back. But I thought they really did a heck of a job. And I thought this year in particular, they had a great variety of poets and musicians. They really, really covered, I think, all their bases as far as everything from traditional to more modern and from different parts of the country in Canada. So I think the Western world was pretty well represented there.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, I was telling Bobby before we started with the show that Wiley Gustafson, who performed at Elko again this year, Wiley is in town, and he will actually be performing on the Grand Ole Opry this Saturday night. So I've got to give him a call and see if I can catch up with him while he's here. Well,
an entertainer.
Oh, he is. He is. I love to watch him perform, and that new album that he has out is really great as well. So, well, you are always great to have on the show, and I'm going to miss some people at the Western Heritage Awards this year, and you probably will be one of them. So we hope to catch up with you somewhere down the road.
Oh, I'll bet we will. So I'll look forward to seeing both of you guys sooner or later.
Well, that'd be great. Where can people get your poetry? Where can they get the albums?
Okay, you can contact me through my website, which is DeannaDickinsonMcCall.com. You can also contact me through Facebook. I have an author's Facebook page, which is Deanna Dickinson McCall Author. And those all have contact information, call or write or email or whatever the case is.
All right. All right. Well, be sure and do that and tell Dave hi for me.
I will do that.
All right. Well, we're going to close out this segment with another great song, a poem, and this is called 5 o'clock Somewhere. Tell us about this one before we go.
Okay. That was just from watching the horses. They were coming down the hill down to what we call a dirt tank or a pond in other parts of the country. You know, they like to come in before dark and water. And they're like kids running down there type deal. And I thought, yep, this is a typical thing. Kids or a bunch of guys getting off work heading for their watering hole type deal. So, and I have a line in there. I was raised Southern Baptist, and I do refer to that. And it raised a few eyebrows in the content that I used it in. But I tell them I was raised Southern Baptist, so I think I can use that line.
There you go. There you go. Oh, gosh. Well, you are always so much fun. And thanks again for being with us, Deanna.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's always fun to spend some time with you guys.
All right. Here we go. 5 o'clock Somewhere. We'll be back.
I hear them clatter off the hill. Hooves scattering rocks, acting silly like horses will, sliding down on hawks. The day is over and they'll arrive, snorting and playing at the tank, almost taking nosedive while acting mean and rank. Like good Baptists or boozers, they gather at the water hole. There are no sinners or losers, from stud to mare to foal. I see them splash and play, fight for the best place, for settling down today, after the wild foot race. Drawing long, satisfying pulls, with legs still spread and askew, sucking a bloating bellyful, like some folks I once knew. I believe I saw the stud wink at the pretty young mare, and I'm sure they do think it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Well, it's time now for Saddle Up America on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network. We'll be back in just a moment.
From whence came the cowboy, the history is plain. He rode out of Europe on a frigate from Spain, to Mexico, southward and northward he spread. From the gaucho and the hueso, the vaquero was bred. Your everyday cowboy, and oh, what a sight. More dashing and daring than the medieval knight. Medieval knight.
Rodriguez, Gonzalez, Villa Lopez, Madron, Nicaragua, Santiago, Palomino, Rasco, Rojas, Sanguia.
Cowboy. Yippee-yi, yippee-yo, come a horseman from history. Yippee-yi, yippee-yay, in all colors he came. Yippee-yi, yippee-yo, and his name still holds mystery. He is a legend, and cowboy's his name. Name, cowboy's his name. Then into the west from the Civil War days, the white and the black cowboy rode in like a blaze. Some will implore that all cowboys were white. I can tell you from facts, boys, that that isn't right. For all of the cowboys that rode a horseback, one-fourth of those hombres was sure enough black. Sure enough black.
cowboy. Yippee-yi, yippee-yo, come a horseman from history. Yippee-yi, yippee-yay, in all colors he came. Yippee-yi, yippee-yo, and his name still holds mystery. He is a legend, and cowboy's his name, name, name. Cowboy's his name. If you think the cowboy is all said and done, this hombre that's carved out is placed in the sun. He isn't gone, and I'm a-telling you, friend, there's more cows and horses than there's ever been. Been. But a cowboy's the cowboy by whatever name. Whatever his color, his glory's the same. And his name, like his spurs, has a wonderful sound. Keep your eye on the sunset, 'cause he's still around, round, round. He's still around.
Larry Shuey, Gary Martin, Waddy Mitchell, Jack Hanks, John Underwood, Randy Raymond, Bill Evans, Jess Smith, Joel Nelson, Cliff Tynard, 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 Tynard.
Cowboy. Yippee-yi, yippee-yo, come a horseman from history. Yippee-yi, yippee-yay, in all colors he came. Yippee-yi, yippee-yo, and his name still holds mystery. He is a legend, and cowboy's his name, name, name. Cowboy's his name. Yippee-yi-yay, yippee-yay, yippee-yay. Yippee-yi-yo, yippee-yo, yippee-yo. Yippee-yi-yay.
From whence came the cowboy, that's Sons of the San Joaquin, and welcome back to Saddle Up America on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network. In Nashville, Tennessee, I'm your host, Gary Holt. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, my co-host, Miss Bobby Bell, and a good friend, the world champion 2 years in a row at Road to the Horse, Mr. Mike Majors. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Gary?
Good, good. Have you recovered yet from last week?
Well, I'm still a little sluggish, but seems like the work just kind of continues regardless how you feel, you know?
Oh, gosh. Well, congratulations again on a great event. And, so, hey, Bobby, you want to say hi before we get into all of this stuff?
Yes. Hello, 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 and yes, congratulations. What an awesome event last weekend, right?
That's right.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
that is right.
Yes.
Well,
that
thank
is right.
You so much, Bob. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, so the first thing I want to ask about how you felt when you got the second invitation to come back.
Well, you know, I was excited, really, because they usually don't have people come back twice in a row, and so I was excited that they had invited me back for a second deal and a second Road to the Horse, and so yeah, really excited actually.
Well, I understand that future competitors for 2024 are hoping they don't invite you back again because. gosh. Well, it was a pretty stinking exciting competition. And, for the first 2 days, at the end of the second day, you were behind us a little bit, weren't you?
Yes, I was. Yes, I sure was. J.R. Robles, he'd done a really fine job on his little gray horse that first day and got a lot accomplished and such, which is great, you know. And then on the second day, I think there was a point difference between us on the second day, but anyway, JR, he's a new upcoming trainer and doing awfully good.
Well, he is doing very well. And then of course, Cole Cameron had won the wild card previously. And so he was there, he ended up second And and JR was third, and then Guy McLean came in fourth on that event, previous winner in the past, and so he was back again. But tell me a little bit about, you know, you've got 2-4-6 horses, 2-4-6's horses now, don't you? Yellow Horse Canyon, and what's Talking Cows? Is that the name of this horse?
Talking Cows. Yes, sir. That three horses, Talking Cows, and the little eight horse that bucked with me, I decided to go ahead and buy him because I felt like I needed to give him a better chance than what we had there because everything was pretty rushed and he was a little pretty tight and just didn't know how to move out. So I went ahead and purchased that number eight horse.
Oh wow!
Guthrie. Yes, sir. I did.
Wow. So how did you go about selecting the horses for the, you know, they bring the 4-6's horses in and then you get to select your horse. How do you go about selecting your horses?
Confirmation means a lot to me on them horses. I mean, and you know, if the horse got a good eye or if he's, you know, some horses just kind of got an old mean looking eye and I try to stay away from them. But confirmation is a lot. The eight horse, the Guthrie Whiskey, he was really a real typey little horse, just wasn't real big. But I also really like that number 12 horse really, really well, and the number 4 horse. But well, there were so many of us to choose, and we got to choose two horses, it's sometimes you just don't get the horses, your first picks is what you just don't do.
Yeah. So, and this was the first year that you got to select two horses, so that was a little bit different.
Yes, it was. It was quite a bit different. Actually, a whole lot more pressure because it's like, I mean, you think it'd make it easier because if one you don't like, you just discard him and take the other one. But anyways, it made it tougher for me to pick two horses versus just one. But I'm pretty glad that I did because the number eight, he was my first pick, and he would have been really tough to just go on with by himself.
Yeah. Well, I pretty nice size purse. I've already approached you about borrowing some money, but you said that was already gone. So we'll have to.
I didn't know how to get home and win.
Oh, gosh. So for our audience around the world, tell folks what you do when you're not out winning Road to the Horse.
Well, when we're not branding cattle on my ranch in New Mexico or shipping cattle out there, we're here in Texas, in Bowie, Texas. Just I've kind of slowed down my showing because I just kind of got tired of going down the road. But we're still training lots of horses for people and starting a lot of colts and just doing the same thing. We're just riding horses our day, you know, just get up in the morning and go to saddling and riding.
A few years ago when you were on the show for the very first time, we talked about your ranches. So now where is your place in New Mexico? Bobby, you may want to listen to this because I don't think you were on that first show.
Well, I think, are you in Billene?
In Bowie, Texas is where our horse operation is here in Texas,
okay.
but in New Mexico, Belen, New Mexico, west of just that old desert down there, kind of Rio Grande or Rio Perco Rivers is where our place is there.
How small is your place there?
It's the one deal up there is about 50,000 acres, and then I think we've got the other part over there is about another 20,000.
Wow.
So, you know, back here in Tennessee, that's half the state, you know.
Yo, it takes so many acres to run a cow, they almost have to graze in a trot, Gary.
That's right. I have shared that with people before. After you said that time, I have shared that with folks. But anyway, so where was home originally for you, Mike?
Magdalena, New Mexico. I was born in Montana, Miles City, Montana, and then My dad had a ranch up there, but he was originally from New Mexico, and then he sold that ranch and moved back to Magdalena, north of Magdalena, on the north side of the Alamo Navajo Indian Reservation there. And lived there, golly, I guess, had that ranches in, had a couple of ranches around there, my dad did. But so we lived around there, Pytown, New Mexico. I don't know if you've ever been to Pytown, New Mexico. That's a big metropolis, big city over there on the western side of the state.
How big is that?
I guess, yeah. How big is that city, that town?
It's Pytown. It's probably got about maybe 40 people lives in it, I suppose.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. So we just had Deanna McCall on the show, a cowgirl poet, and she just moved to Eakley, Oklahoma. And so we were talking about the fact that population there is like 312. And so Pytown's got that beat. But gosh.
Pytown's a small town, but it's a unique little old town. But then, yeah, Daddle and Magdalena, Daddle and all that country, midwestern part of New Mexico is where mostly I was raised.
Okay, all right. And then how did you end up down in Texas?
Well, and I had bought a ranch in Colorado back in 1990, I guess. It was actually the old Flying A Ranch, belonged to Gene Autry. Harry, and it was 20,000-acre ranch up there. And we run cows on that place and yearlings and such. And then we got in a terrible, terrible drought like in 2009 that drought started, and for 4 years we were just in a terrible drought. And so I sold that ranch and I started showing a few horses and such, and so we wound up and sold that place and bought this place in Bowie, Texas, and just moved our horse program down here.
Wow. So now, and I'm trying to remember going back, but aren't you pretty much involved in the ranch horse competition?
Yes, sir. We do some rank cow horse, not very much there, but we do mostly versatility ranch horse, and then they have the Stock Horse of Texas here in Texas, and it's a lot like rank cow horse, except for it has a trail class in it and a ranch riding class and then a confirmation class. So you kind of have to have a pretty good looking horse that can do multiple things to be able to do any good in them classes.
Yeah. You don't know a B.F. Yeats by any chance, do you?
Now who now?
B.F. Yeats. Do you know B.F. Yeats?
You know, I don't know if I do.
B.F. was heavily involved in the Stock Horse of Texas competitions down there.
Okay, yes, he's the one who started. I think he had kind of gotten out of it before I moved down here, Gary.
Okay, all right. Yeah, B.F. is a young fellow of 93, and he and I got to talking the other day, and I think we knew half the people that he knew I knew, and it was like, and back here in Tennessee, I mean, he knows everybody everywhere, but anyway.
Wow.
But we'll have to introduce you sometime. He's still going strong.
Yes, sir.
He is still going strong. Well, I want to take a quick break, and this is a great song by Chris LeDoux and Garth Brooks. It's one called "What You Gonna Do with a Cowboy," and we're gonna talk a little bit about cowboys some more with this cowboy on Saddle Up America.
See, you got your eye on this old cowboy, and I can tell you never had one for your own. Or you never been around one, now you're thinking that you found one. Well, it might be kind of fun to take him home.
You giggle every time that I say yes, ma'am, and I get this feeling if I held you tight. You'd be seeing his and hers, buckles, boots, and spurs, but that feeling you'll get over night.
Cause what you gonna do with a cowboy? that old rooster crows at dawn. But he's lying there instead, getting out of bed and putting on his boots and getting gone. What you gonna do when he says, honey, I got a half a mind to stay? What you gonna do with a cowboy when he don't saddle up and ride away? You see, it takes a special kind of woman to put up with the life of Cowboy Lee. 'Cause his boots are always muddy, and his beer-drinking buddies, they'll camp out on your couch and never leave.
Don't even start to think you're gonna change him. You'd be better off to try to rope the wind. What he is what you got,
and he can't be what he's not. And honey, you can't hide him from your friend. So what you gonna do with a cowboy when that old rooster crows at dawn? Lying there instead of getting out of bed, putting on his boots and getting gone. What you gonna do when he says, honey, I got a half a mind to stay? What you gonna do with a cowboy when he don't saddle up and ride away? Yeah, what you gonna do with a cowboy when he don't saddle up and ride away?
What you gonna do with a cowboy? Chris Ledoux and Garth Brooks, and we're talking with our featured special guest today, Mike Major. Mike, on your website, you describe kind of the relationship as horse and rider as a dance, and I really enjoyed what you had to say. Do you want to talk a little bit about how that relationship is like a dance?
You know, it is. It's because you've got to be the dance. You've got to be with your partner. You know, I mean, and you've got to move your steps and to flow. And it's the same with the horse. You've got to be able to read a horse and get them to understand how to follow you, you know. And it's what makes it so unique is teaching the horse the steps and following the steps that he's trying to take you down. And that's virtually what it is. It's a dance.
Mm-hmm. And in this competition, you didn't have very much time to dance with your partner, did you?
No. Yeah. Pretty fast.
It's almost a little bit like dating. You know, you chose the horses, and then you were on the dates.
Exactly right. Yeah. Yeah, we got married awful fast, too.
Yeah. There was one video, I think, of the obstacle course, and one with you and your horse at a water obstacle. That was kind of interesting, and the horse actually went ahead and took a drink from the water.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, that was at the point where I led him to the water trough, but I let him lead as far as the drinking, because, you know, they say you lead a horse to water, but you can't make him
drink. Make him drink. Yeah.
I was sure happy when he took a drink, because he felt right at home then.
Yeah, yeah. And let's see, there was another one where there's a very large round, was that metal? Very sturdy.
Yes. Yeah, teeter-totter bridge, you can imagine both things. It turned all the way around. I mean, every side, there wasn't no flat side to it. And
so
that,
how much...
That I didn't really think we would ever get over it, but it's another case of where we just took him up there and let him build a little confidence, and he tested the water a little bit, and he thought no, and then we took him back to it, and he went ahead and made that his decision to go ahead and get that done. But yes, I was pretty excited when he went ahead and took that teeter-totter bridge.
Mm-hmm. So do you have, in the time that you and the horse have together, were all of these obstacles, was this a first time with the obstacle, or did you have any opportunity to experiment or test those obstacles first, or was this just here we are, you know, and let's go?
Well, the second day of the competition, we have an opportunity to introduce them to different obstacles. Like there was a bridge, but it's a stable bridge, and that we can put them, get them going across, and then some noodles. The car wash noodles and such as that, stepping over some logs and different things. So we try to introduce them to as much stuff as we think that might be in the obstacle courses, but we don't know for a fact what will be in the obstacle course. Then there's a lot of then they always have some new ones. They have some of them are pretty standard. They have the same ones every year a lot of times, but there's always some that are completely new, you know, or the secret obstacle. And so that's what the bridge, that rotating bridge and the water obstacle, they were new.
Mm-hmm. On the Road to the Horses website, I read about one of the competitors, wildcard competitor, was it J.R. Robles?
Yeah.
And he and his horse dropped away from the obstacle competition, but it sounded like it was quite a moving event. Did you watch that and can you share a little bit about what happened?
I did. Well, JR, I mean, like I say, he's a very good up and coming young horse trainer, and had his horse really doing fabulous. But I don't know. Because, you know, I don't get to watch what they do the first 2 days because we're pretty busy over there with our own horse. But what it looked like to me, and it's really easy to do, is you get into the get on the obstacles and your horse has got a little bit scared of it or such, and sometimes it's easier to just keep asking, wanting to ask more than what they can really take, and that's kind of what happened on that. On that last day for JR, he was just scared of him. You know, he just did not have enough faith or confidence to go over him. Of course, in JR, you know, he got to a point there and he realized that he wasn't probably going to be able to make it through the rest of the obstacles in time, which would keep him from doing very good in that particular third class. And so he opted, instead of trying to put all that pressure on that horse, that he would just go ahead and give the horse a break and take the loss.
And it was his decision was really wonderfully received by spectators and by the judges comment about, you know, so so I was curious. So you can understand how, as a spectator, this can be a very emotional, besides though all of you competing, but it's really quite a wonderful opportunity for the spectator to watch this whole weekend of activities, isn't it?
Right. Well, you see the humanity and the horse, it kind of combined in a dance, you know, and it all kind of comes down to that same thing, you know, when you can't dance, you can't dance, and so you know when to quit.
You know when to sit that one out.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. Well, the whole event, it's horsemanship, and so each horse is different, and each trainer is somewhat different, and so you know what's best for your horse, and you do what's best. You just do what's best. And the crowd responds.
And it's just about reading your horse and just trying to understand what he's perceiving as a threat and what he's curious to still try to look at something being curious about. And it's all about reading your horse and trying to get him to where he will accept. And and you get a horse in an accepted state of mind and because once you get a horse in an accepted state of mind, they really start trying to accept a lot of things that normally they would not accept at all until you get them into an accepted state of mind.
Well, my question to you is, what are you going to do with talking cows now? What is his future?
We'll go ahead and finish getting him broke and kind of see where we'll go with him in his training. That's kind of see where he's going to shine at what event. It might be roping, might be cow horse. We just don't have any idea until we get him going a little bit farther along.
Yeah. Well, he's a good looking fella. I liked him. I liked him very much.
Looks like somebody just took him and just dipped his legs in a bucket of paint.
I'm telling
you. Same place.
Yeah. Yeah. I had one like that. We called him Rooster Cogburn, and he was a ton of fun. Yeah. 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 But anyway. Well, when are you coming to Nashville?
Well, by golly, I'd like to come back here sometime. Really, I've never been to Nashville. I've been through it a few times, but never into Nashville. So maybe one of these days I can get back up and see you guys.
You have an invitation that is open, and we'll put you up when you get here. So no reason not to come. Always great to visit with you. Always great to visit with you.
Thank you, Gary, and you, Bobby. It's nice business with you guys, and it's been a fabulous show.
And I guess we'll see. At Road to the Horse in 2024.
I don't know if they're inviting me back or not, but we'll see what happens.
All right, we'll look for you, or we'll look for you in Fort Worth. One of those two, anyway.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you guys so much, and thank you for everything.
All right. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate you. So we'll be back in just a minute. We're going to take a listen to this and return on Saddle Up America. Thanks, Mike Majors.
Thank you.
Cowboy Bill needs shelter in Colorado. When the aspens shake the mountains down for gold, wrap your warmest blanket around my shoulders, like the rocky foothills where the smell of smoke. With constellations, our only companions, I'll give in to you like fall gives in to winter's white abandon.
Stubborn breeze.
are the last cowboys, the very best in stubborn breed. Yeah, you are the last cowboys, the last cowboys I'll ever need. The last cowboys.
Eileen Cronin, The Last Cowboy, a great, great song. Bobby Bell, what a stinking fun show today. I'm telling you what. And did we get enough horses and talk in this show today?
Oh, I don't think you can ever have too many horses and talk in a show, can you?
Not to me. I mean, you know, you know me. But, yeah, so it was a ton of fun to visit with Junie Fisher and Deanna Dickinson McCall and, of course, Mike Major. And, yeah, it was kind of fun because we got to listen to Junie trying to catch her breath carrying her saddle to the arena today.
Yeah.
So that was that was all right. That was all right. But and Deanna and Dave are now in Eakley, Oklahoma, or somewhere in between there and somewhere. So good to
and
talk with them. Yeah, and always great to talk with Mike Major. He's just a neat, neat guy. And, yeah, his purse for that Road to the Horse was just $75,000. So that was
I thought it was a little more than that, no? Okay.
And now $75,000. I thought that was pretty good, Bobby. I thought $75,000.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not.
Pretty
I'm
good.
Not, you know.
Yeah. But anyway, it was a ton of fun. What is happening with Out West? You're headed to Santa Clarita, California in just a couple
of
weeks, aren't you?
We are. Yes, we are. We are the Santa Clarita annual Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival comes back after a 3-year hiatus. And we will be there manning the Buckaroo Bookshop on both days of that event, Saturday and Sunday, April 22nd and 23rd. We will have, over the 2 days, there are 16 different authors that are participating with us and eager to meet you and to share their book. And, of course, the books will be for sale. We are also hosting full days of public programming at the very nearby Old Town New Hall Library. So we will have one-person presentations and panel discussions on each day that I'm very excited about. You can find out more about this event on my Facebook page, Rendezvous with a Writer Out West. There is now set up an event, and when you click on that, you can see the names of everybody and the names of the shows that are happening, the programs at the library. And yesterday I started that countdown, day 24, and so each day on my personal page and on the Rendezvous page, there'll be a post highlighting one of our authors or highlighting one of our public programs. And that will be a one-day countdown all the way down to the April 22nd, the first day of this event. So, yeah, we're gearing up.
Yeah, well, that'll be exciting. You know, it's amazing how many have come back that were absent for a few years because of the COVID pandemic that was going on. But glad to see Santa Clarita coming back, and that'll be a fun time. Well, we're going to remind you that you can tune in Saturday to Live from Nashville on Equestrian Legacy Radio, and that's at equestrianlegacy.net, and you can listen to that show and this show on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and iTunes. Search for Equestrian Legacy Radio, and it will bring you to all of our shows and past shows. So anyway, it's been a lot of fun, Bobby, and we look forward to having you join us again for the Campfire Cafe in Saddle Up America next Thursday, beginning at noon Central Standard Time. And we will see you on Rendezvous with a Writer tonight. What time is that?
Yes. 6 o'clock Pacific time, 7 o'clock Mountain time, streams live on the LA Talk Radio Facebook page. And then of course it becomes a podcast immediately after. Our guest is Martha Burns. She just was named a finalist for a Spur Award for Best Contemporary Western Fiction. It's a riveting book called Blind Eye. And it does take place in New Mexico, on ranches in New Mexico. And it's a really, really powerful story. And we talk with her tonight. Very, very excited to have another chance to talk with an author.
All right. Very good. Well, thanks for listening to our show today, and we'll see you next week on the Campfire Cafe in Saddle Up America. We're going to close this one out with one from Mr. Ryan Fritz, a Canadian cowboy friend of ours, and it's called Cowboy Cowboy. Thanks for listening.
Why do you roam? Cowboy, cowboy.